Well, it's been a good meeting. I've enjoyed the services last night, today. The reason that it's been a good meeting is because the songs have been based on the Word of God.
Amen.
And the sermons have been the Word of God.
Amen.
So anytime you're in a service and the songs are not contemporary and worldly and carnal, but based on the Word, you can worship God.
Amen.
It's what the Bible said, we ought to worship the Lord. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And then, I tell you what, that was beautiful.
Yes.
That song you just got through singing,
Amen.
You know why it was? The Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I really like that.
Amen.
Really appreciate
Amen.
That. Well, Brother Herbert, I enjoy your fellowship, your friendship. Somebody asked me today how long I'd known Brother Herbert. It's been so long, I can't remember. It's been a long time. Anyway, our paths crossed several years ago, and I've always appreciated his friendship and fellowship.
Amen.
I'm going to read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 7 and 8. That's what I'm going to have for the text verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8. This church of Corinth was a carnal church. They thought they were spiritual, but they were not. Paul said to them, you remember, he said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes, carnal Christians. They really had a lot of problems. Had a lot of carnality. Had a lot of confusion. And Paul wrote this epistle to try to help them to understand that there was more to it than just excitement,
Amen.
Thrills, entertainment, so to speak.
Yeah.
You read that 14th chapter, Paul is reminding them that they were bragging about their gifts.
Yeah.
All had gifts.
Yeah.
And one of the gifts they emphasized more than I suppose any of the rest was tongues.
Yeah.
So in verse 17, or in verse 7 and 8 of this 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said this, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harped, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Amen.
When you read that, Paul is probably thinking about trumpet blowing in the Old Testament. They had a trumpet blowed for worship. They also had the trumpet blowed for war. And it had to be a distinct sound.
That's right.
If there wasn't a distinct sound, then there would be confusion.
Amen.
And so Paul said that God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
So this church was really confused. Paul said if unbelievers come in, they don't really know what's going on. You spend all your time bragging about your gifts, and you shouldn't be prophesying or preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Tonight, with these two verses before us, I want to preach on this subject. It's been a long time since I've preached it. But I feel like the Lord had me to preach it tonight. A lot of sermons I preached years ago, they're not as popular as they were back years ago. You ever notice that? Years ago, you could preach sermons and saints got right, sinners got converted, saints got happy and rejoiced. But now, if you even mention the subject, they throw up a barrier, rebellion. Now, made their minds up, we're not going to walk therein. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, destruction of distinctions. We're living in days when a lot of folks don't know truth from error. They don't really understand and know right from wrong. We're living in days when there's a lot of people that need to be reminded what truth is.
Amen.
Especially this younger generation.
Yes.
So tonight, pray for me as I try to preach this message. Somebody said the church at Corinth was carnal, confused. God is not the author of confusion. I want to say, first of all, that the devil has always tried to undermine and also undo the work of God. He's always done that. And he hasn't given up, and he hasn't stopped. He's still doing it tonight. See, the devil knows his time is short. He knows where he's headed. He knows where he'll be throughout all eternity. So he's doing with all his power to confuse, deceive people that they might be with him in the lake of fire forever and forever. I want to say, first of all, I got about 3 or 4 points. I'll try to hurry. What I'm going to say won't be profound. What I'll say not be anything new, really. Maybe it'll stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Maybe it'll do that for us. That's why Peter wrote the word to the saints of God. To stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. We don't need anything new. And what I've heard last night and heard today were not new to me, but it sure stirred up my mind by way of remembrance. First of all, I want to say the devil is trying or has tried to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. He's tried that. He's trying that to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. When I make that statement, I think about verse 26 here, though I think it deals with what I'm going to say. Paul said, "Now it is then, how is it then, brethren, that when you come together, everyone has a psalm?" Does that sound, you know, in other words, everybody's got their own opinion, own ideal. This is what I believe. Everybody had a psalm. And then everyone also hath a doctrine. Confusion. Everybody had their own doctrine. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to believe. Everybody had a psalm and had a doctrine. Also, the Bible said that they had a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation that all things be done unto edify. That text tells me this. And that is that the church at Corinth wasn't concerned about truth. It's concerned about their own feelings,
yes, sir,
and their own ways, their own doctrines.
Amen.
And that's the way it is, has been for years.
Right.
You know, one reason, or one way the devil tries to destroy the distinction of the Scripture is by all these new Bibles.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to elaborate on them much, but how true that is.
Yeah.
I can remember when the Good News of Modern Man came out.
Yes,
I can remember when, in other words, not only the Good News of Modern Man, but the New International, and also many others. But all these new so-called Bibles, it's nothing but the devil trying to destroy the distinction of the Scripture.
Yes.
Did you know that a lot of denominations, well, I'll say this, that every major denomination, it doesn't matter to them what kind of so-called Bible you have. It doesn't make any difference how it reads. But to you and I, they're saved, fundamentalists, old-timers, or the old school. We believe the Word of God, the King James Bible, and we're not going to settle for anything else. So we're living in days when the devil has just tried to destroy the distinction of the Scripture by all these new so-called Bibles. Take the virgin birth out, blood atonement out, a second coming out, the new, other words, the doctrine of the new birth, and one of them even minimized and under, in other words, tried to do away with homosexuality. You can have your new Bibles. I got an old King James. Somebody said, "You old King James people are ignorant." Well, we're saved, and we're sure of it, and we're headed to heaven. And we're not as ignorant as they think we are. I say to ye, I still believe this old King James Bible. It was preached when I got saved. It was preached when they ordained me. And by the way, brethren, I still believe in ordination. A lot of churches don't. A lot of preachers don't. I talked to an evangelist. I believe an evangelist ought to be ordained. I believe a pastor ought to be ordained. I believe missionaries ought to be ordained. You say, how you know? Well, listen to Paul and Silas, didn't they? The church laid their hands on them, sent them out. By the way, the authority is not in man, it's in the local assembly, and we ought to get back to the truth and tell this generation it's the Word of God and the local assembly has the authority. But a lot of folks don't believe that. When I was saved, King James Bible was preached. When I was ordained, the King James Bible was preached. The interrogator asked me before that church, both churches, said, if it ever comes a time that you will not believe the King James Bible, will you turn your license in and your ordination? And I said, I will. That's been a long time ago, and I'm still believing the King James Bible. I haven't thought one time about getting a new word. I got the old word. I got the true word. And the devil's trying to destroy the distinction of it. But thank God it's been settled in my heart, hid in my heart. Thank God for the Word of God. The devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. There's an uncertain sound. And all these major denominations, without exception, in other words, are going that route. Now, you can say what you want to and believe what you will. I preached 20 years ago in a meeting. Hadn't been back. Don't want to go back. And I preached on evidence and proof that every major denomination is in apostasy.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe that. Well, it was true then. It's true now. See, apostasy is falling away from truth. We'll not deal with that tonight, but the devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. Okay. Also, not only having these so-called new Bibles, but all these writings of people, like the Book of Mormons, writings of Mir Baker Eddy, Pastor Russell, Mohammed. The Mormon says that our Book of Mormons is on the level and equal with the Word of God. The devil tries to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. Now, we believe the Word, but you know something? That old devil getting the minds of young people in this young generation say that old preacher and that old church, they're too narrow. That what they're doing is not proper. That's right. So what I'm preaching tonight is not popular. And what you've heard these days is not popular. But it's truth.
Amen.
Okay, I got to move on. The Bible said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is proper doctrine for reproof and also correct reproof and also, let me get that right. I'm getting old, I can't remember. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God for proper doctrine, reproof, and correction, and also instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
Let God be true and every man a lie. Not only is the devil trying to destroy the distinction of Scripture, but the devil also tries to destroy the distinction of our Lord and our Savior. And salvation, Bible salvation. Have you ever noticed that? Here's what he says. It really doesn't matter. When you, in other words, there's more than one Savior. There's more than one way to be saved. There's more than one way to go to heaven. They used to sing a song years ago. I haven't heard it in a long time and don't want to hear it. It went something like this. You go your way and I'll go mine and we'll all get to heaven at the same time. The only thing wrong about that, you cannot go your way, or my way, or man's way. You gotta go God's way. It's a one way, the blood-bought way, the Calvary way, and there is no other way.
Amen.
Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jehovah's Witnesses are not saved. Mormons are not saved. Muslims are not saved. And these modern so-called Baptists by name, I say to you, they're not saved. I'm not judging Brother Herbert, I'm preaching. See, a lot of folks say if you preach like this, or like we've heard these days, that you're judgmental. Well, the Word will judge you. But our Lord said, I'm the only way. Simon Peter said, neither is there salvation in the name of the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul says, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I like that chapter 2, verse 5. For there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That excludes Mary. That excludes my friend the Pope. That excludes every priest. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But the devil says, as long as you're sincere, you'd be surprised a lot of folks sitting in the Baptist church feels, and they feel like the Pope's saved. They feel like the priest is saved. As a matter of fact, they feel like the Muslims saved. But I got news for you. If you don't believe the Bible and believe in salvation the way the Bible says, it doesn't matter if you got the name Baptist, you're not saved. Amen. Distinction, destruction of distinctions. The devil tries to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. The devil tries to draw the distinction of salvation, Bible salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now let's move on a little further, and this might get a little stickier. The devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. Are you hearing me? That's what he's trying to do. I can remember when the unisex movement started. Can some of you remember that? And I can remember that Baptist preachers and Baptist churches frowned on it back in those days. But they got used to the dark. Didn't want to ruffle the waters. Didn't want to rock the boat. And they compromised and gave in and say, don't preach on those things. I sat in a congregation one time. Young man got up and preached the Word of God as these young men has preached. And the old preacher said to me, I knew him. We pastored just very close together. And here's what he said to me. I used to preach like that to learn better. I said, you haven't learned better. You're compromised. And I knew him because he was a compromiser. I haven't learned better. I wish I could preach like some of these young men. In other words, get out of the pulpit, run the aisles, and climb in the pews. I have done that in my younger days, but I'm too old to do that. In other words, I might slip and fall and break my neck, and I would be in a mess. But I still believe it like I did in those days. I may not be as my friend rowdy as I was then, but I still believe the Word of God, and I still try to preach it as the Lord says, preach it. The devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. When God made man, He made a male. And then God saw it wasn't good for a man to be alone, and God made a female. One man, one woman. Is that not true? God made a male, God made a female. You think about that, God made a distinction. Do you know that? God made a distinction in Adam and Eve. Now God did that because it was God's plan. That's the way God wanted. And God made them that they might, in other words, not only be man and wife, but also populate the earth. And homosexuals can't do that. I'm going to deal with that just in a minute. You young folks, listen up. The devil gets you to believe that lie. The other day I was shocked when somebody told me that a young lady decided that she was a homosexual, a lesbian. By the way, I want to put this in there before I forget it. That fellow up yonder that's trying to run for president, that homosexual, I can't even think of where he's from now, but here's what he said. He's, Indiana, is that where he's from? He said, if you're going to blame somebody for me being gay, in other words, blame God. He made me this way. God never has made a homosexual. They made themselves homosexuals. God made a man. God made a female. God made a woman. God made a man. And God made distinction in their appearance. They didn't look alike. Say amen. God did that. Have you ever known? Hey, let me tell you something. God did that. God did that. A man's different from a woman. God did that. And the woman is a weaker vessel. Whether some of you feminine people like it or not. Amen. Amen. Feminine movement. It's feminine movement. God made them different in appearance. They didn't look alike. Their bodies weren't alike. Thank God. And also, God made distinction in their apparel. Are you listening? He did. In other words, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 22:5, it's an abomination for a man to wear their paint to a woman and a woman to wear their paint to a man. It was true then. It was true when I started preaching, and it's still true tonight. Now, some of you might have got used to the dark. I know some Baptist preachers, oh boy, they got up in the air about this unisex crowd, about these women wearing these pantsuits and other words in those days back there. And I've noticed that their wives are wearing them. Now, don't jump out of the boat. Stay in the boat. We'll make it to shore. I'm oaring with two oars. One's called truth. The other's called love. And we're not running around circles. We're in a straight line. And if you'll stay in the boat and not jump out, it'll help you and not hurt you. The Lord made distinction in their appearance and their apparel. Say amen. Somebody said, well, in the Old Testament, they had wore robes. Well, I'm sure that's right. There's a distinction of a male's robe and a female's robe. Sure was. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible, when that priest, in other words, went up to offer a sacrifice, went up those steps, he had breeches on. Had breeches on under the robe. You know why? So he wouldn't show his nakedness. We're living in a day of nakedness. Not only out there, my friend, in Walmart and down to the flea market, but in Baptist churches, I've lived to see my friend nakedness, nakedness, nakedness. Women of these low-cut dresses, my friend, these mini skirts, say amen. Amen. There's a distinction between male and female in their appearance and also should be, and God wants it to be, in their apparel. Amen. This unisex crowd, these women, want to dress like a man. Come on. These Southern Baptists, now I don't care what you think about me. Well, I do care what you think about me. But I don't care what you think about the Word when it's preached truth. I observe Southern Baptists. I'm in a Southern Baptist community. I drive to the church 3 times a week. I see the women going in tight blue jeans, knee shorts, men's apparel, and their henpecked men following them in like puppy dogs. Say amen. If you, by the way, you hearing me? God sets an abomination for a woman to wear a taint to a man, and a man to wear a taint to a woman. You want to get some Baptist women stirred up? Next Sunday morning, all you men come to church in a dress. They'll say, I knew he was a pervert all the time. By the way, that's what a pervert is. Somebody said, now wait a minute, all a pervert is homosexual. No, a pervert can be a pervert and not a homosexual. Change in order, change in other words, things, perverting it. In our town over at Amory, when I was over there, we had what you call a cross dresser. Black boy, man, cross dresser. He'd wear a dress sometimes and he'd wear pants. Cross dresser. So the lady said, "You know what? He's a cross dresser." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "I know some cross dressers of Baptist churches. They wear their long dress on Sunday, wear their tight blue jeans and pants on Monday. That's a cross dresser." Y'all still in the boat? I know some of you are not enjoying what's being said. But here's the thing about it. The devil desires to damn you. The devil desires to deceive you. And as our brother preached the other night, he'll do it with religion, and that's his main game. But religion without God will blind you to truth. Religion without God also will bind you to man's tradition. And unless you get saved by the grace of God, it'll burn you forever in the lake of fire. The devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. But God made a distinction in their appearance, in their apparel, and their affections. Romans 1 tells us that. That fellow up yonder in Indiana has gone against nature. He's got the wrong affections. When a man's got affections for a man, he's got wrong affections. Somebody said a long time ago, when God made Adam, he didn't make Adam and Steve, he made Adam and Eve. Amen. When you find a man that's got affections for another man, or a woman's got affections for another woman, they're in bad trouble. Now, don't look at, I'm telling you the truth. Somebody said, now, by the way, did you know our young generation, that they're being taught and told, in other words, that gay is all right? No, they're not gay, they're queer. Oh, yes, I don't like that word. I can't even help why you like it or not. I said they're queer. And they are queer. When I grew up, it's called queer. When I grew up, they wouldn't come out of the closet. You know why they wouldn't come out of the closet? We had laws in our, on the books in our country, and they're still there. And that is, if my friend you was a sodomite, they put you in prison and therefore charge you as a felon. That's why they stayed in the closets. That's why they didn't come out. Say amen. Same sex marriage business. And sex change. The devil's trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. So in the in other words, this unisex crowd started back there with women. In other words, started cutting their hair like men. And men started having a ponytail and growing their hair like women. When I was unconverted, wasn't saved by the grace of God, I made sure I got a haircut. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. I wasn't saved. I didn't need a study course. A nature taught me it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's what the Bible said. That even nature itself will teach you it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And a woman's hair is for her covering. Now, I don't know how long a woman's hair ought to be. But I do know one thing. If it's cut up over her ears, blocked off in the back like mine, it's too short. But see, these women want to look like men, walk like men, work like men. Amen. The Bible says this, that man is the head of the woman. That's what it says. God said to Adam, "Thou shalt rule over thy wife." Rule over her. That meant he was to be head. It wasn't meant that he was to mistreat her and abuse her and walk on her and treat her like some rug or something. No. But God just ordained it that way. Have you ever noticed that a woman's weaker vessel? The devil didn't go to Adam. The devil went to Eve. You know why? Oh, you're something not weaker than my man. If you're not, it's something wrong with your man. Man is the head of the home. The Bible said a woman ought not use her authority over the man. I mean, now it's going to get a little sticky. That means in the home, that means in the church, and that means in the government. Talk to me a little bit. These women nowadays, uptown in Washington, all that crowd, my friend, wants to be a president. They ought to be home washing dishes and taking care of their family and doing, my friend, what God said. God never intended for a woman to be a governor. God never intended for a woman, my friend, to be a president. God never intended for, my friend, a woman to go to Washington and run things. She's used. Listen to me. That's usurping authority over men. I told you it might get a little sticky. But you just stay in the boat. Don't jump out now. We don't have any lifesavers. You've got to stay in the boat. Usurping authority over the men. The devil is trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. And that is women looking like men, men looking like women. And if you're not satisfied, you're a man. Find you a pervert, help you to be a pervert, and thank you going to heaven. I got news for you. There are no saved sodomites. That man up in Indiana, God didn't make him homosexual, the devil did. Himself. I got news for you. You know where he's going? He says, God made me this way. I'm not about to repent. I'm not going to change my mind. He's become a reprobate. God has turned him over. God has turned him loose. And he's doomed forever. Say amen. Oh, they say he's handsome. He's young. He's a pervert. He's an abomination. Amen. And what I'm preaching is relevant for our day. What I've talked to you about in this point right here on trying to destroy the things and sexes, it's right now before us. And what I'm preaching is a hate crime. Yeah, that's right. What I'm preaching is a hate crime. I'm not supposed to say anything about that. You're not either. But we're going to let God be true to every man alive. The destruction of distinctions. The devil's trying to destroy the distinction of the Scripture. And then he's trying to destroy the distinction of the Savior and salvation only in Him. He's trying to destroy the distinction of the sexes. I got one other little point. He's also trying to destroy the distinction of God's servants. When I say servants, I'm talking about preachers. Amen. God never has. Now, it's accepted in our day. God never has called a woman to preach. When I was growing up, the only women preachers we knew of was Pentecostal. Baptist frowned on it. Southern Baptist frowned on it. But nowadays, Southern Baptists have women pastors, women preachers. But let me say something to you. God's servants are men. God's servants are saved men. God's servants are God-called men. God doesn't call a woman to preach. Matter of fact, Paul said to that church at Corinth, your women are to keep silent in the church, for it's not permitted for them to speak. All these charismatic preachers, like old John Hagee, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen. Bishop Jakes. I miss him. Cliff O'Donnell over down in Atlanta. I'm leading up something. All their spirit filled, they led of the Lord, and every one of them's wife preaches. Now here's the thing about it, if I'm spirit filled and I believe the Bible, my wife's not going to preach. As a matter of fact, if she's spirit filled, she don't want to preach. Say amen. This charismatic crowd, my friends, deceiving people and telling them that they're the only ones got God on them. I heard John Hagee say this. He said, if your pastor has not cast out devils, he has not performed a miracle, he's not qualified to be a pastor. And I thought I'm more qualified than you are, only been married once. Say amen. I still believe a man ought to marry a woman and stay with her to death do you part. I believe that. Say amen. How long you been with your wife? 61 years. That's how long. Amen. Oh, Hagee. His wife preaches in his congregation. All of them do. And then when the wife gets up to preach, they say, in other words, the preacher, old Kenneth Copeland, he's something, I tell you right now. He's bad. I mean, he'll have no, he's really bad. In other words, he likes something up here.
Amen.
When he's hoarse and dog can't preach, in other words, you know what happens? His wife preaches.
Yeah.
But really, if I believe like they believe, I wouldn't get hoarse. Now, let me say something to you. Some of you folks watch that junk on TV, read their books out of Walmart. That charismatic crowd, I do not believe a one of them knows God. How come? Well, let me just tell you. What did Hagee say? He'll know better than that. I heard old Jesse Duplantis say this. He said, I went to heaven for 5 hours and 15 minutes. I got news for old funny boy. He hadn't been to heaven and he's not going unless he gets born again. I heard his wife, I read this, his wife said, Jesse's wife said, when Jesse got saved, I believe God had to give Jesus a blood transfusion. That's blaspheming. Because Jesse was so mean and so dirty and so vile, it took all the blood of Jesus to cleanse him. She preaches too. Are y'all still with me? I'm just about through. But I feel it's about time for me to preach a little sermonette again, get it off of my heart, and my friend get it out of my mind, so I can rest a little bit. Some of these old sermons, Brother Herbert, we used to preach, and we preach them, and sometimes we think it's no need to preach them anymore. They're not going to listen. I was Don Green one time. You know Brother Green. Up in Michigan, we was walking down in a supermarket, and here come this woman, like a man, dressed like a man, and he said, Brother Ronnie, they're not going to stop. But I'm not going to stop preaching against it.
Amen.
Now, that's the truth. They're not going to stop, some of them. But I'm like old Jeremiah. About time you think, I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm just not going to say anymore. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say anymore about that. And about the time he said that fire was like, that word was like fire in my bones, and I couldn't stay. God called men will get stirred up in this generation. Any preacher that my friend can see what's going on and not stand up and preach against that, there's something wrong with him. And we ought to tell these young preachers, don't cow down, don't back off. Amen. All these glory preachers. Preaching for the praise of men. Oh yes. These women preachers. Somebody said, Brother Sutton gets on that hobby horse, I'll ride her to the ground.
Amen.
Because God's never called a woman to preach. Well, Jenny Marr said, they said that God wouldn't call a divorced woman to preach, but He called me. He won't call one that never has been married to preach. Did you know that all the writers of the Old Testament were men?
Amen.
Did you know that all the writers of the New Testament were men?
Amen.
Did you know that all the apostles were men?
Amen.
God never chose one woman to be a writer of the Bible.
Right.
Not one woman to be an apostle.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like that. We'll find you a new Bible.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, get you a new Bible.
Yeah.
That's old fashioned. That's out of date. Some of you young folks sitting here, some of you young people sitting here, you're not going to hear what you've heard in this meeting out from the world.
Right.
I like what Paul said. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he didn't say a woman.
Right.
He said to Timothy, O man of God, O woman of God. Paul said to that church at Thessalonica, he said, you knew what manner of men we were among you. Not what manner of men and women. These pastors and co-pastors. By the way, I heard here a while back where he's not a Baptist. Well, there wasn't much of a Baptist anyway, in other words. But I heard he and his wife were co-pastors. Co-pastors. Did you know something? When God saved Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, He didn't call Mrs. Noah to be His co-pastor.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
The destruction of distinctions.
Yes,
yes. Now what I've said to you tonight is before us. For years, the devil has been destroying the distinction of this book. Also, he's been trying to destroy the distinction of salvation only in Jesus. And this day that you and I are living in, right now, the popular thing is, be what you want to be. If you don't want to be a man, be what you want to be. If you want to marry a man, marry a man. If you want a woman, want to marry a woman, marry a woman. Now, Romans 1 tells you plainly that is against nature. There's a lot in Romans 1. There's a lot in that chapter. One thing is, and then I'm through. I'm through. One thing that Romans 1 says, that to become a worshiper of the creature more than a worshiper of God. That's what it says.
Amen.
In other words, they'll go for four-footed beast, creeping thing. We live in that day.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks that sit on these Baptist church pews that think more of their poodle than they do children.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Man, spend more money on it.
Now, some of you Baptists, now don't jump out of the boat. If you got your little poodle dog, that's your business. Take care of him. Treat him well. That's okay. Amen. I know where I am. I preach the Baptist enough to know. If you want to get something stirred up, just tell them that their cat's not going to heaven. That their dog's not going to heaven. I was at a funeral several years back. Hadn't been long. Well, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And the preacher got up and read the obituary. And he said, you know something? So I just found out something today I didn't know. So I'm sure y'all didn't know it. When he read that obituary, she had several daughters, and he said, you know, I didn't know she had a son. You know who her son was? Her dog.
Yeah.
She had an obituary that her dog was her son. I got news for you. As far as I'm concerned, according to the Bible, they ought to be in the yard and not the house. I know that's touchy. I know that's touchy. But listen, love me anyway. I mean, when I grew up, the old hound laid on the porch. We took care of him, fed him, gave him his crops. He got what was left. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, church. This crowd's messed up in this day.
They're messed up.
I see them up down the highways all the time, and they letting their little babies out, little poodles out. Got to walk them. I just pictured this one. I got about 3 or 4 children. Got them a couple of dogs. That's what they got on the back of their van. Or a family. They got about a man and a wife and about 3 children and a dog and a cat. All the family.
Right.
They'll get the cat out and the dog out and walk the dog. The little boy says, I need to go to the bathroom. Shut up.
Right.
I just told you to go down the road.
Yeah.
Say amen. Brother Herbert, come on. Come on, I don't need to run any more rabbits. Come on.